Oh yeah, we're about to get nerdy with behind the scenes tech talk as it pertains to social media, video platforms, podcasting, websites, and more. So take off those pocket protectors. You won't need them here. Pour yourself a tall glass of Code Red Mountain Dew, get comfortable, and prepare to talk nerdy. After Hours starts right now.
What is up, crew? It's time to talk a little nerdy tonight, May the 14th, 2020. And yeah, we are live on the YouTubes, or potentially, if you're listening in replay somewhere, you may be listening on Full 30. I have intentions of putting this show back on there, this week's show up on there once more this week. I did it last week, got a pretty good response. So I was kind of worried about there being people not necessarily interested in listening to this sort of thing, kind of the behind the scenes talk with what we do as creators and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, you may be listening there in replay. You may be in a podcast form, audio podcast form, on any variety of platforms, or in the YouTube replay. You never know. So we've got the live chat out there. It's kind of filling up, starting to jump and bump and hoop and holler and all of that. And so remember that if you are in replay somewhere, the conversation never has the end because there are comments down below. So yeah, with that, tonight we're going to be discussing hopefully not as long of an After Hours episode as we tend to get into. We're going to be talking about audience demographics, and we're going to be talking about who is our audience. And once we kind of jump into this, you'll understand a little more, but there's several aspects of this that we need to cover. It's not that simple. The simple answer most people would give was, the farm community or farm people or whatever. And not necessarily. In general, yes, but I think as a creator, I think we have to be thinking about specific things, right? A little more specific than just that. So, farm content is outdoor content in general is huge. And then a subset of that would be, of course, farm related content. And then it goes, even further on down the, slicing the pie, so to speak. But, got a quick mention in food because this will turn into a food chat and, I am hungry. So yeah, let's welcome our guest. We've got a couple folks with us per usual. So turning into almost the co-host of After Hours and to folks that are, doing really good work out there, putting out a lot of good content on various mediums. We've got, Budget in the his house. What's happening, bro?
Wait, you were talking about me to who? Holy cow. Gee, sure. Thanks.
Why not?
No, I've been up today just chilling. Took the day off work. Didn't feel like going in there today, so I took vacation day. So that was pretty good. Edited some video and fixing the... I don't know if I'm going to put that out tomorrow because I have my live stream tomorrow or if I'm going to wait until Saturday to put it out. Don't know, but I do have something coming.
Something coming. So that's nice. That's like, it's almost like the check's in the mail, or so to speak. So something to look forward to. Ghost is here with us too. What's happening, man?
Man, I am living the nightmare. The rain's getting ready to roll back in for the next 3 or 4 days. And we've had a nice little break with sunshine, but my goodness gracious. Here we go. Get ready to build the ark again.
Yeah. Same thing here. What's going on? Pretty much
here too.
Maybe. And yeah, it sucks. I mean, the ammo is here to do the testing on the Henry 3030. The replacement for the Walther PPQ. Long story. I won't get into that on this show. It's not the place nor the time. But you know, the replacement for it's on its way to be able to do the content with that. You know, just got so many irons in the fire, and this weekend was kind of going to be the weekend it looked like to get it all done. And weather-wise, not so much at this point. So
Yeah, I'm hoping that Sunday we've haven't had a haven't done a fun shoot at the club. I don't know, in months, because of winter time and all that. But then finally, when we start to do it in March, well, we haven't been able to do one the last couple of months. So we've got our first fun shoot scheduled for Sunday. And we're actually combining pistol and rifle. We're going to do a little two gun kind of pistol side is going to be steel challenge, but we're going to do like a 100-yard steel challenge for the rifle. We're going to do 400 yards, and then the 250 gong will be the stop plate. So I'm really hoping the rain gets away Sunday morning so that we can get a bunch of people out and shooting on Sunday afternoon. So knock on wood.
Yeah, hopefully it works out. And either way, it can't rain forever.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing.
That's true.
So let's jump into the topics or topic rather a little bit. Like I said, going to be some different facets of this topic, but we'll jump into that. Remember that if you are in the live chat out there, first of all, welcome to the Nerd Chat. And remember that any of those nerdy questions or whatever, throw them out in the live chat. Tag myself, tag Ghost, tag Budget, tag somebody. That way we're better able to see those questions. You can also super chat, but totally not necessary. And we'll try to get those questions answered, those covered. And they don't have to be on the audience demographics. They can be on just about anything tech or nerd related or whatever. And we'll try to answer them to the best of our abilities. Occasionally, there's a question or two that comes up that are well above our pay grade, so we usually have to defer to somebody else on those. But if you're in replay somewhere, same thing. If you've got questions, you don't understand anything, you need help, throw it below. For those in audio podcast form or whatever, or maybe you're just out there driving and listening or whatever, tonight will not be a visually rich show, obviously. None of us even have cameras on here. So, yeah, it should be able to consume it very well. So on the topic of audience demographic, I think the first thing that I want to kind of touch on, because this is sort of how I wanted to break things down, is my take is when we think about this, there's all different areas of an audience demographic. And the big two things that come to my mind, which I view them as two totally different things. One is, what is the audience that I want to reach versus what type of audience does my content attract? That's not necessarily, in my opinion, that's not necessarily the same thing. What's your thoughts on that, Ghost?
Yeah, I mean, I think that everyone, when they set out as a creator, they've got in the mind, back in their mind, what kind of content they want to produce and the type of crowd that they want to. Excuse me. And as time goes and you get more videos out there, typically what not only just your content, but your audience kind of evolves into something that maybe you didn't even think about. It's very, very rarely does the audience that you have in the back of your mind when you first start out actually be the audience that you attract with your content down the road. So yeah, I mean, it's interesting how audiences in your mind versus reality can be vastly different.
And from video to video, or series to series, or anything like that, have it could all be farm related, but you can have drastic swings depending on what's going on.
Yeah, because I mean, if you're not evolving as a creator, then what are you doing? And more importantly, like someone like me, like my audience is vastly different for the most part than yours, as far as, the type of person, like training tactical versus levered guns, revolvers, all of that stuff. Typically, we're vastly different. And we share a lot, but we're vastly different. But what happens down the road if I start getting into revolvers? Well, now my audience has expanded slash changed because I've evolved as a creator down the road. So, yeah, it's interesting.
Right. Yeah, and it's you know, that does give you a way to broaden. I mean, should you decide to journey down that road, a way to broaden that tent in a sense, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, and if you're trying to get a specific audience and you try to keep that specific audience the same, then one of two things is going to happen. Either you're not going to make it very long because you're going to get very, very frustrated, or you're just going to have to sit there and say, well, I'm stuck at this, let's say 500 subscriber count, and I'm probably not going to grow because I've probably maximized the audience of which I'm attracting. So it goes into a lot of different plays, you know?
Right. Budget, I'll let you jump in. I want you to weigh in on this. And we can kind of toss the idea around like football a little bit here, but yeah, I mean, where do you stand on the principle that the audience your content attracts is not necessarily the audience that you're looking to attract?
Well, I never approached this with a specific audience in mind. In other words, I wasn't trying to attract a certain demographic. Now, my assumption was that I would attract pretty much guys like me. And that's really what happened. You know, I attracted males between, what's the demographic, 45 and 54 from the United States. For a long time, that was my biggest block of audience. But lately, I've noticed a shift. That demographic's only 18% at this point. Now my biggest block is males from the United States, 25 to 34 years old. And the next biggest is the 35 to 44 year olds. So I was kind of surprised to see that demographic shift a little bit to younger folks. And but so then again, as I'm reminded today, there's a lot of people younger than me.
True. But do you think that is because of a shift in any way in content, or if that is just more indicative of there's more young people and less older people on the platform?
Probably the latter. I don't know that my content has changed dramatically other than becoming a little bit more polished, I'd like to think. It's pretty much the same stuff that I've been doing, you know, although lately I've been doing a lot less in the, camping and gear and bushcraft type stuff and focused more on the firearms. I've been doing a lot less.
Right. So with audience demographic, Ghost, where does your demographic typically settle as far as age group?
Let me pull it up real quick. And while I'm pulling it up, I want to add something that very well could be that the age demographic that has kind of shifted for budgets, I think it's similar to mine. When I pull it up, I'll find out. But maybe that also means that there are more younger, that 25 to 34, that are getting into firearms, and they're looking and searching for that information because they're newer to firearms. So maybe that's a good thing. Maybe we are bringing some of that younger generation into the community. I don't know. So let's go audience here. Let's see here. Okay. So interesting. So I have a tie. I have a tie with two demographics at 26.4%, at 25 to 34 and 35 to 44. And then my next one is 21.7 at 45 to 54. So basically, you're looking at 3/4 of my audience is between 25 and 54. And that actually makes sense to me. Mm-hmm. And 97% male. Sorry.
Yeah, that's about where mine falls. I'm looking at about 2/3, pretty much 2/3 right on the money. 2/3 of mine. Actually got 13% 55 to 64 and 10% that's 65 plus, which is interesting. So I really got some old fuddy.
Yeah, I've got 5.3, but that is exactly what you said. That might go into some of the content that you put out. Very few 65-year-olds are trying to run close quarter combat and running tactical stuff. They're probably going to be looking at the lever guns and the revolvers a heck of a lot more.
Mm-hmm. That's true. But, you know, the bulk majority, like I said, 66% fall within that 25 to 54. And what's interesting with mine is it's pretty much evenly dispersed. 25 to 34 is 24.6%. 35 to 44 is 22.3%. So just about a 2% difference. And then it drops off as you get older. And then the 45 to 54 is 20.4%. So they're all right there, really close, which is, it's not surprising, honestly. I think that's the age group where people are more active in, you know, hunting or training or shooting sports in general. And that's more so the age group when people are acquiring and buying firearms and stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was answering a thing in the chat. Yeah, and I think that it's interesting that, you know, like I said, and the analytics can tell you exactly what, you know, that's telling you something. We just discussed it. Whether you have the younger generation or the older generation, they seemingly are going to like different things, okay? And there's probably not a whole hell of a lot of people at 65 years old or plus are actually on YouTube, you know? It's very vastly going to be lower than the 25 to 34 for sure. But the fact that you've got a higher, twice as high of that older demographic than I do, and probably than budget does, once again, you can read into that and say, that's part of the content.
FUD.
And that's kind of cool. You know, it's kind of cool that knows that 10%, because I got 10% or 9.1 are 18 to 24. So once again, that's probably where you're able to start buying ARs. You're able to start doing some stuff with firearms at 18 and 21. You can buy your handgun. So I'm getting 9% of that 18 to 24. Maybe that's where that younger generation, the 18 to 24 and 25 to 34, that's 35% of my audience. Now, once again, I'm hoping what that means is that younger generation is starting to get involved in our community and we're reaching them. I'm hoping that's what that means.
Mm-hmm. Right. Budget, what about the older age demographics on yours?
45 to 54 is 18.7%. 55 to 64 is 11.1%. And 65 plus is
6.9%. Okay.
I am pulling in some 18 to 24 year olds though, which is kind of weird to me. You know, the 11.7% of my demographic are those guys, but the vast majority is the 25 to 44.
Right there in the middle. Sure. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. And like I said, I think that's going to be normal. So it begs the question, and I guess before I beg this question, just a quick pause to say, hey, to everybody out there in the live chat, thanks for hanging around. Remember, nerdy questions, throw them out there. We'll answer them if you put them out there. And if you're in a replay, comments below. So continue the conversation, ask questions. That's all groovy. And we encourage it. But it begs the question, I guess, when we look at these age demographics as to when you're talking about, and I do want to get into some other demographics besides just age, but when you're talking about an age demographic, with each one of these age demographics potentially comes with a different, I don't want to say a different set of issues, but with its own positives and negatives, maybe would be the way to put it. You know, I feel like, and I don't know this, but I feel like probably the younger crowd may be the more engaged. So they may be the ones, and it's sad that you can't really, take these demographics and parse them. I mean, the analytics, especially on YouTube, are not really strong enough to tell this, but, when it comes to those that, that you're reaching in those demographics that comment, that engage with the channel and that sort of thing. I think that the random engagement may be higher with the younger age demographics. But then when you're talking about support and or conversion and commitment, you know, to the next level, things beyond just the random engagement, I think maybe that falls into a lot of a little bit of the high end, let's say from that 25 to 54 year old, the higher end of that spectrum, I think may be the ones that kind of take that in, not just the engagement, but then they take that up a notch to the next level. What do you think about that, Ghost?
No, I think, I absolutely 100% agree that that younger crowd is going to be more energetic. You know, I can just say for myself, being 45 years old, so now I fit in, now that I turned 45, Christ, I'm in another demographic here on YouTube. So I've moved to the 45 to 54 my own life. And I can tell you that someone who's 45, I mean, outside of my friends that I watch their videos and I'll make a snide comment just to kind of have fun with them, I don't comment on videos. And very rarely will I like videos that aren't my friends' videos. If I'm just watching a video, I'm not going to engage hardly at all. I'm just there to watch, learn something, be entertained, and I'm moving on. I think that as a younger crowd, they grew up with the Facebook thumbs up likes and Instagram hearts and all of that, to where they just kind of been indoctrinated their whole lives of giving that, I don't know if you call it love or engagement, just naturally. So I think that younger generation is going to be more engaging with the creator than people like me. Outside, like I said, outside of my friends who do videos, I very rarely will thumbs up, subscribe, or comment on anything.
What do you think about that, Budget, about the level of engagement or support according to age bracket?
There may be something to that. Because, as he said, the older fellas didn't, and ladies, the older people didn't grow up with that being the norm, whereas the younger crowd has. Although there are exceptions, because I comment just about everywhere on everything. So, yeah, there are exceptions.
I mean, we got to look at do we think that eventually will morph or change over time, where we'll see, 5 years from now, let's say, will we see more of the older demographic potentially engaging with the channels? Because
the younger people got older.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I think that, you know, the younger, like G23 out there says, is it positive reinforcement? Was that kind of the terminology I was using for? And you're talking about people that grew up. And this is my daughter's. My daughter's 23, but you know, you're talking about a generation that grew up with participation trophies. Okay. So they're used to that unconditional positive reinforcement, no matter what. And so, yeah, I think that that's why they're probably more engaging. And just like you and Budget just said, as they get up, they'll continue to carry on that engagement. So as they get older, they will change those demographic numbers of engagement. Probably. I don't know if that's true, but I think that that's a very plausible, hypothesis.
Right. Now, moving away from the age related demographic, the demographic, and I guess I call this a demographic. And it's not anything we can track in any analytics, unfortunately, or at least I don't know how we could. So if there's anybody out there obviously listening in the chat, or if either one of you on the panel, I think there is, then throw that in there. But that has to do with, I don't know how I want to word this, but your education level or your experience level, not education necessarily as in college or anything like that, but you know, your education or your experience level. I think that that is maybe the most important demographic that we need to be looking at. And sadly, you know, at least for our niche, and sadly, we don't have the ability to gauge that, I don't think, because, you know, here we are and we put out a content and we think about the flow of the content we put out. What's the subject matter? How are we presenting the information? What little tidbits are we putting into it? Always have to walk a fine line between, you know, a 10 minute video and a 40 minute video, obviously. And so there's certain things that you have to cut out. There's certain things that you may omit. And if you're talking about wanting to reach those that have a lot of experience in the firearm realm, that's going to be a totally separate piece of content a lot of times than trying to reach those that are brand new. But, you know, at the same time, especially if you've got evergreen content that you're putting out, you've got content you're putting out that, you know, 3, 4, 5, 10 years from now, you're still going to be getting comments. It's still relevant. And we can do that. That's the beautiful thing about the firearm niche is, you know, you can have a firearm that hasn't been made. Heck, Snob out there in the chat can attest to this. You can have a firearm that hasn't been made in decades, you know, make a video, throw it up. Those are always on the secondary market, the used market, and people are wanting to learn things about them. There is search traffic, especially if anything comes up, like one sold at an auction for a high price or, you know, whatever the case may be. Then, you know, you get that bump in search traffic. You have people looking. And so how do you walk that fine line, or is it possible to walk a fine line, or should we even try to tailor our content where it has both complicated and basic elements to kind of help? I don't want to say attract, because that has to do with the enticing thumbnail and title, really, but that it's valuable, I guess, would be the word, to both of those demographics at the same time. Ghost?
You know, I think that there's a part of it that I think that, yeah, I think there are certain times and certain projects or certain pieces of content that you want to tailor to last over time. All of us here, none of us do the Jared thing where every day we're bringing up, you know, current legislative events that are happening, that those videos a year from now are worthless because it's either been voted on or it's just been shelved. I think all of us in here, we normally do content that I think is going to be evergreen. So I just really depends on what your channel is. Is your channel a current events channel, or is your channel more of an education channel? And all three of ours kind of fall into that education channel. So I think we naturally are going, without even thinking about it, I think we're naturally going to try to put out content that is evergreen, that will be worth something to a 21-year-old now and a 21-year-old 5 years from now. Doesn't matter, that 21-year-old kid's a 21-year-old kid, and maybe our content is worthwhile 5 years down the road. So, I mean, I think that people do it, but I don't think they necessarily probably try to make that content. I just think that that's just the kind of content they naturally make. Am I missing the grade there? Is that what you're talking about, or no?
I'm unmuted here anyway. Yeah, I mean, that was part of, yeah, what I was talking about. Budget, I mean, I'll bring you in. I don't know what Bass Boy out there said. CloverTac, what is the nerd pay chat pay grade? Oh, that means that you can ask questions that we have no clue what you're talking about. You can go a little bit too nerdy with us sometimes. We've had a couple of those in the chat that gets really crazy, like insane physics and robotics questions or some crazy something like that. And so, yeah, that can get difficult. But yeah, going to budget. You know, all the concept of, you know, we're dealing with, obviously, people we want to provide a value to on either end of that education / experience spectrum. How do you find a happy balance, or do you, with that?
tough question, really, because it's a tough thing to do. Do you want to get technical enough to interest those who know what they're talking about while yet still being general enough to be informative to the newbie? You know, I guess I've chosen which side of that fence I'm going to be on. I begin and end just about all of my produced content with maybe we'll learn something together. So, you know, I guess maybe I'm just trying to appeal to someone who is the regular Joe, the regular guy. Cause you know, the high speed, low drag, types aren't going to pay very much attention to my high drag, low speed, self, you know? So I figure I'm going to I guess I've made my choice on that. I'm going to just try to appeal to regular everyday Joe. And if anybody else likes it, awesome. That's kind of my strategy.
I like that. And Snob's out there saying that he's found that how-to videos are the best content for him. There is. And I think that comes down to education. And I get comments every now and then on small videos. I don't know, Clover or Budgie, if you get the same thing. I don't even really think about it. When I'm talking through a video, I'll use terminology that I use that's just kind of natural to me. And some of it might be military. Some of it might be tactic stuff. Some of it might be, you know, whatever. And some people say, I don't understand what you meant by this. And I'll have to catch myself every now and then when I'm doing a video and say, the terminology I'm using may not be great for everyone, because if they're not understanding the terminology, then they're not going to be able to learn because they don't know where I'm going with that terminology. So
amen.
I have learned myself, and I love what you're doing, saying, not saying we're dumbing it down to the lowest guy, but we're saying is so for, if you keep in the back of your mind that you're hoping to have someone new find you, and if they know nothing, can they watch your video and learn something? Even I find myself having to take a second take and reword some things to where the terminology may or may not suit the viewer of the newest mentality. So yeah, I love what you're doing, and I agree, sometimes you just have to tailor it to those people.
Well, you know, there are a lot of times when I'll get comments when I say like, for instance, the very first Heritage Rough Rider video I did, when I referred to the ejector rod as this protrusion under the barrel, and I had somebody comment, that's an ejector rod, blah 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 blah, and I'm thinking, dude, I know that, you know that, but 58 out of 100 people watching this may not know that, and that's who I'm talking to.
Right. Yep, exactly.
Because if I say, oh, you push on the ejector rod, and they're like, well, what the hell's an ejector rod?
Where's that?
So
yeah, and you can still use that
push
term
on this, the ejector under the barrel. Oh, okay, now I know what that is.
Or what I've found is sometimes easier is if you want them to learn those terminology, you can sit there and say, push on the ejector rod, and then point to it and show them what it is. The injector rod. I mean, this thing right here, this is what that's called. So not only are they understanding what the hell you're talking about, but then they might be able to actually learn that terminology. So there's, like I said, some people are visual learners. Some people are audio learners. So that's the toughest thing also, is trying to figure out how to teach people.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, speaking of that, I mean, I don't want to derail and get off on something, but it's certainly relevant. It's what Patriot in the Dark has sort of pushed us to do with, like, the blindfold challenges and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
Is, you know, that was really, I'm really thankful for him and in the role he plays in the community. And yeah, I'm going to put him on a pedestal here for a little bit, give him a big head, but, that's something that I never thought about. I never considered how, yeah, I'm showing something on a screen, but how verbal am I being about it? And describing different things, right? And I'll admit, I mean, I'm not as good with my general content, and I'm never going to be, as I am if I'm actually doing a, you know, a blindfold challenge. I'm just never going to be. But that's something that ever since that's come about with him and he started to push that, that is still something that's always in the back of my mind and I'm thinking about, is I'll usually run through a take and I'll think, okay, did I describe that part or this method, or, you know, did I describe verbally what I'm doing? Did I describe that well enough, or do I need to throw in a few more? I mean, a few more words is not going to add a ton of time. Do I need to add a few more words here and there? what is the word to elaborate on that or embellish that a little bit?
Yeah. And I'm the same way. And I put Patriot's channel out there. So go check out Patriot in the Dark. But yeah, I remember, was it about a year or two, probably 2 years ago, when he did the blind challenge. And I had, and I'm sure everyone was the same, I had never even considered the fact that maybe you need to be a little more visual in your descriptions, in your words. And I never even would have thought about that. And that was, yeah, most for sure, that was huge for us, because you're always trying, once again, we're talking about trying to find new audiences. Well, if you're never going to say things that could be descriptive enough for a visually impaired person, well, they're never going to watch your stuff. But if they stumble upon your channel and they're able to follow what you're saying because you're relatively descriptive in what you're saying, well, there's another audience demographic that you may not have ever thought about getting, but you just did. So once again, we're increasing demographics here.
Lost my train of thought, unfortunately, there for a minute, but there was a place I was going. Oh,
I'm sorry. I have that effect on people.
No, it's fine. I mean, we're still on this same thing about, you know, the spectrum of education or experience and that particular, set of demographics. And, you know, so I guess a question for the live chat out there for sure, because you guys are hanging out and you're there. And so, why not participate? But, so if you're out there, and there's lots of creators that their style or their format, they do this. So if you're out there and you're showing a doodad, knickknack, or whatnot, whatever it might be, and you decide to get really descriptive and go off on a tangent, right? Or maybe you're doing it for the higher education people and you're going to get really technical with it, or maybe it's like Ghost and Budget have pointed out, maybe you need to elaborate more on what these words mean, right? Or what these parts are, right? So you're fixing to have a section of the video that is, for one end of that spectrum or another, is not going to be appealing. So my question in that situation where you're going to go off on a minute or two tangent on something, Is it preferred? Is that something that when that happens, if you're on one end of the spectrum or other, I would assume that most of the people out there in the live chat are engaged enough and know enough now that in this particular scenario, it would be somebody that's fixing to get into something really basic, right? Do you click off that video, or do you just fast forward past that part, or do you listen through it to kind of hear, you know, what the guy has to say? I mean, hey, is he explaining this? You know, how's he explaining this? Maybe it's explaining that basic stuff might be beneficial to you, I guess is what I'm getting at, as a more experienced person, because then that can give you another way to explain to people that are not as experienced as you this particular thing, maybe in your day-to-day life, maybe at the gun shop, you know, whatever. And if you are one that's prone to click off, would a cue, something like, hey, I'm fixing to, you know, we need to address, before we go any further, we need to address X, Y, and Z. And this is something I've been thinking about saying occasionally in some of my videos when I start going down a little bit of a rabbit hole, is, hey, we're fixing to get into X, Y, and Z. If you're not interested in that, you may want to fast forward, or you may want to skip past this part. So I'm curious what the chat out there, and of course the comments and replay, has to say about that particular area, going off on kind of a little tangent. How do you view that as viewers or listeners or whatever? And then I want to bring that up as a topic with Budget and Ghost here as well. going off on those little tangents. How do you, when you have to do that, how do you handle that budget?
As a creator, I just kind of go through it. You know, I figured that those who are gonna, who need to listen, and those who don't won't, you know, my strategy has never really been to please anyone in particular, or really anyone. I just put out the information I think is useful. I don't necessarily tailor that. And maybe I should. I know as a viewer, I tend to fast forward it past that part and pick back up when it becomes something I'm interested in.
Yeah, that's kind of my thinking, is that if you have people out there that are that way, some type of a visual cue may keep them from clicking off and instead just cause them to skip a little bit, which is far better than them clicking off the video. But your thoughts on that, Ghost?
Yeah, I've never really kind of thought about that a whole lot. Unfortunately, it's going to make me start thinking about it. Now, as a viewer myself, if I'm going to find a video that I'm looking to find out information about said subject, then I'm going to watch it all the way through. But if I'm going to a video and then all of a sudden in the middle of it, they kind of break away and, like you say, run a tangent on something that the actual topic isn't about, then I'll typically skip. I very rarely, the only time I click off a video is if very quickly I find out that either I don't like the way the delivery's going, I don't think this person can communicate well, or something like that. If it's just a tangent about an off-subject topic, I'll skip 30 seconds to see they're still talking about it. And I'll skip another 30 seconds to see they're still talking about it. But I've never thought about it as a creator, and yeah, you just kind of made me think about it. So thanks. Appreciate it. There's another thing I've got to add on to my thought process here. I'm not very smart.
It's what it's all about. The ghost I'm out there, he says he always looks at videos with the idea that he can almost always learn something he didn't know from someone, even if it's basic. Said examples when he's watching camera or video editing videos. So stuff of the straight up nerd persuasion, it sounds like. So we've spent a lot of time really on this education experience, whatever demographic, and there's a reason. And the reason is, I think that's, you know, again, the most important demographic that we wrestle with. And sadly the one we have the least analytics on, unless you guys out there, this is a kind of a poke in the rear for you guys. Unless you guys get out in the live chats and get out in the comments and engage and let us know that, hey, I'm, you know, haven't been in to firearms but a few months. This is my education level, blah, 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 blah. And so, you know, I got to say that's where some of this idea of getting out there and being engaged can actually help us. It can help us help you type thing. But on the education experience spectrum thing here, another thing that I'm thinking about is the flow, you know, that we can deal with that issue maybe, is the flow of the video. Do you think, and I'll start with you, Ghost, do you think that it's better to start your flow with a basic idea, go into some specifics, end with a basic idea, or start out with specifics more in the beginning?
Depends on the video, but I think in general terms, I try to go and start out with general first. Once again, I think that if you start jumping right into the technical aspects of things right away, you might lose someone. So I'll try to kind of in general thoughts, I'll try to start out relatively general. And then once I think that people maybe understand what we're talking about, then I'll go into detail, because worst case scenario is, what if they don't want to listen to the technical stuff? And so you've got a 10-minute video, and at minute two, you start the technical stuff, they might turn it off then. But if you go general for the first 3 or 4 minutes or 5 minutes, first half of it, even if they don't want to hear the technical stuff, they can turn the video off at the 5 minute mark, and at least they've got 5 minutes of general knowledge to go through. So I'm not saying I do it every time, but I try to start out general, you know, for most of the time.
Yeah. I mean, my thinking on that, is sort of along the same lines. And that's why I wanted to bring it up that, you know, I'll get Budget's opinion on this next part too. But, you know, I think that when you've got somebody that has some knowledge and experience, think about it. Everybody out there, live chat, you know, listening, replay, whatever. We love firearms, right? And we love talking about firearms and hearing about firearms. And even if we're hearing the same things over and over and over and over again, right? You know, I mean, how many times can you hear about, you know, the 1911 versus the, you know, polygun, whatever conversation or whatever, right? So I think there's more of a chance that the more experienced, more educated stick around at through the basic stuff than there is the chance of overwhelming the ones that are not as experienced or educated and them clicking off right away. So I agree with the concept of basic first.
And I love what Snob is talking about out there in the chat. He's talking about putting timestamps maybe in the description, saying if you put in the description or even in a first comment or something, timestamp, hey, technical side of stuff, general side of stuff, so people can kind of maybe watch or start where they, if someone really already knows a general idea of what you're talking about and they want to get into the nitty gritty, put that timestamp in the comments or the description. They can jump right to it. That's an interesting concept.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, and that's something that you need to be paying attention to as well. I think we covered that in like the parts of the video thing where you can go in and you can look at your average view durations and look at actual analytics on the video, particular videos, and see where they're dropped. So if you do or say certain things, or if you get off on certain tangents or whatever, then maybe you save those to the end, or you can move those around or in, you know, in some fashion. So I want to bring Budget in though on what I just brought up. Would you agree or disagree on the premise that having basic stuff first is probably the optimal way to go?
That's usually what I do. So I agree with it.
Yeah. Yeah. So
see, Clover only brings yes men in. That's what it is.
It's exactly. Well, you know, here's the thing. The invite list for this show is very, very deep. And if anybody out there is a creator, I brought that up because it gives me a chance to plug and pimp this. But if anybody out there listening and in this and replay or whatever, email me media@clovertac.com. If you're a creator, not just videos, maybe you're writing, maybe you're an Instagram or whatever, maybe you're thinking about doing, starting a channel and doing videos and stuff like that. You're more than welcome on the panel. And, you know, when you've got myself and Ghost and Budget, and I think both of them will agree, we're at a certain level. We've been doing this for a while. We communicate on a regular basis anyway, so forth and so on. So, a lot of the things that we talk about, it was interesting that Ghost had said earlier, he had never thought about that particular aspect, because a lot of times on this show, especially with us three, it seems like we don't necessarily bring up anything new. We kind of already know what the other person's thinking or where they're going. And so having other people on, is a good thing, and having other people on that are not in the same genre or realm or experience level or anything else is a great thing too, because, you know, I get this all the time. People go, well, I don't know about coming on the show because I don't know of what benefit I would be, right? I don't know what I have to offer. Well, you have to offer questions if you don't know anything about the topic that we're talking about. So that's always a great thing. And sometimes those questions from somebody that doesn't know can actually make people think. So that's a good thing. One of the demographics that I wanted to talk about before we get out of here tonight. And again, we're not going to run this one too terribly long, is one that is, it's a growing niche in the, our firearm community. I think everybody would agree with that without a doubt. And that's the women and the female. But yet the vast majority of channels, even the female ran channels, are a super high demographic of men, of male viewers. So is there any way that, I mean, do we as guys, and maybe it has to do with our mansplaining, and if there ever was an example of mansplaining, these after hour shows are probably it, right? But is there ever a way, do either of you or anybody out there in the chat, do you see a way that guys can tailor their content maybe, or do some things in a way that might be more attractive to those first time beginner, you know, women firearm owners that are out there, Ghost?
I would like to think that my content, and I don't know if it is or not, but I would like to think that my content is going to be educational for male or female. I will say this, though. I think that the vast majority of people that are interested in the same things that I'm interested in are going to be mostly male. Now, when it comes down to the CCW and stuff like that, yeah, I think that that's probably going to be, women are going to be able to find that interesting as well. But when it comes to training or military tactics or something like that, it's probably just kind of built in naturally. That's going to be more male. I don't know the answer to this. I'm going to ask you and Budget this, but as much as I would love to get more women watching my stuff, do you feel that women have a tendency of maybe watching more women-based channels? Maybe it's easier to relate. I don't know.
I don't know either. I wish I did know, because I would love to have more women watch my stuff. Right now, that's 3.3% of my audience, and I wish it were more. But, again, my strategy has been that I'm not really going to cater to anybody. I'm just going to put out there information that I find interesting and that I think is informative. And if people watch it, awesome. If they don't, awesome. And I'm just going to do my thing. But I would like to get more women involved. I don't know. Maybe someone put out there the, it was Jefferson Martial Arts says, get your wife on the video. If I could, I would, that would be great. But, that's somewhere between, never going to happen and not a chance in hell. So, but I think that is a viable strategy to have a female on the channel to which women can relate. That would absolutely attract more women to it. But, unfortunately, I'm not a hunk of beefcake that, they swoon over and want to watch.
So. Yeah, and my wife does not like guns, so there is no chance in hell. Now, what's interesting is I never thought about it. I mean, she's not home hardly ever. But when my daughter is home, that would be interesting. She's 23 and she likes going to the range and shooting and all of that and carrying and all that. So that might be, especially not only a female, but a 23-year-old female. That could be interesting if I ever thought about it, getting her on some of the videos if she'd want to. And I don't know if she'd want to, but it's at least a question I need to ask.
Yeah, I've considered trying to get my daughter involved in the channel in some aspects, but she doesn't really like guns. Daddy's sad.
Yeah, I mean, it's a sad thing, but I mean, I guess, I don't understand. I don't know. I don't get it, because I feel like women are not uncomfortable going to a firearm trainer, right? That's a guy. I think if they had a choice, I mean, okay, they'd probably rather go to a woman. I mean, depending on what type of training it is and and that sort of thing, maybe. But it doesn't seem like they have that big of an issue. But then when you look at demographic wise, like we're talking about with this, they just don't watch the content that guys put out as far as firearms. So to me, that begs a bigger question when we're talking about that female demographic is, realistically speaking, and Budget, I'll start with you on this one. Realistically speaking, this is kind of why I posed the question, is there a way to even do this, you know, to bump that demographic, those demographic numbers up for us? Is realistically, how many women are on YouTube searching for firearm content to start with?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's realistic or not.
Yeah. Ghost, your thoughts on that?
I would say a very small number. I don't know. I don't have any idea of what that number is. I don't know if it's 100, is 1,000, is it? I have no idea. But I will say that if you just look at the chats, and for people that go to live chats a lot, that are firearm related chats, regardless of whose it is, you can kind of maybe get an idea of that way. And most of the time when I go to someone's chat, there are one, possibly two at the most in a chat of, let's say, 30 to 50 people. So if you're talking about at the most, you know, 2% to 5%, I mean, if you look at that one out of every 50 people in a live chat being a woman, that is kind of where my female demographic is at 3%. That kind of lines up where that would be, you know? So I just don't think there's a whole lot of them out there that are watching. And maybe it's because they're not interested. You know, just because they like gun doesn't mean they want gun content, you know?
Right.
That might be it. I don't know. But I would say that if you can kind of get an idea of how many are in a live chat, and usually it's one or two, you know?
Well, you went exactly down the road that I was getting at. That's exactly where I was trying to go with this.
Teacher's pet.
Because, you know, you talked about, yeah.
You know what? I want a cookie.
I knew one of you would go there. I've got a purple crayon. Will that work?
I'll take it, sir.
Okay. So, my wife, and I'm just going on with my wife will do, I mean, she'll put out some farm related content. I mean, she's gone to SHOT Show. She's done other things. But as far as me, I mean, 90% of my time, and we're talking leisure time probably. And I say that I should back up. Let's just say the majority. I'm not going to say 90% because that's probably not true. But a majority of my leisure time on the internet, watching videos, looking at websites, especially when I've got money in my pocket. Obviously, I spend all day every Saturday at the gun shops. You know, there's a lot of my time that's absorbed with doing things, not just from a content creator's perspective, but just simply because I enjoy it and I enjoy all facets of firearms and reloading and all of the things that entails. And that's just not a big hobby for her. So, I mean, that translates for her, unless she's looking for maybe a specific video on how to do a specific thing. It's not a form of entertainment. And even if she's looking for a specific video on a specific thing, and obviously I'm putting words in her mouth, and if she listens to this in replay, she'll correct me hopefully in the comments or whatever. But even if she does run across that video, I think that kind of like what we were talking about earlier, the whole education experience spectrum kicks in. And if it gets too complex or complicated or mansplaining or whatever, she's gone. You know what I mean? So it kind of holds true that with what Ghost is saying, that a lot of times when we're when we bring that up about the male female demographic, it maybe our numbers, if they are 2 and 3%, which a lot of channels are, firearm related content channels are, maybe that's not as bad as we're thinking it is, considering the demographic of women and how they're viewing their content.
And I don't know, and I'm just going to take this down a really strange rabbit hole, but let's take like the hair and makeup niche channels. Yeah. Now, obviously, makeup is not going to have a lot of men watching that unless there are makeup artists. But like a hairstyle type thing, I would wonder if those niches have the opposite, where it's 2 to 3% men watching it. And I wonder if they're wondering, how do we get more men watching our channels? I don't know. It'd be interesting to talk to one of those.
Well, maybe we need to reach out to the hair and makeup niche and do some cross collaboration somehow.
I'll follow your lead. If I'm not there, start without me.
Well, I mean,
just kidding. It'd be interesting, because if you look at niches that are female dominant, I wonder if they're wondering, kind of like we are, is there a way to get more guys to watch my stuff? I'm sure there are.
Yeah. Right. Budget, you wanting to jump in here on this at all?
Not going to touch it with a 10-foot pole.
Okay. Fair enough. The last thing I want to hit on.
No, I say that because I'm constantly listening to my wife as I'm sitting there watching TV with her, watching these makeup channels on her YouTube and on her phone. And it's like, wow. So that's all I have to say about that.
So she's making the same comment to you that you're making to her about the content we're watching. That sounds like a normal couple. Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like, well, sure, G-Webs is throwing some links out there, looks like, to some female channels or whatever. So thanks, G, for all of that. Yeah, there's a lot. I'm not saying there's not a lot of women that have channels out there. Not what I was getting at. There obviously are, and some great ones. The last demographic before we get out of here is one that I don't think we can touch on and necessarily talk about a whole lot, because I don't know in the grand scheme of things how beneficial it is at all. And that's when we start looking at regional demographics. And what I mean by that is mainly by country. Now, what I find interesting with mine is you would think that it would be kind of like the male female, and you would think that it would be like 90 something percent, you know, 99, 98, 97%, you know, US. And mine is just barely 75%.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I think, and it'd be interesting if you guys, Ghost or in Budget, have access to that analytic. It'd be interesting to see what yours is. But kind of like,
I can tell you right now,
kind of like my age demographic.
Yeah, looking mine up.
Because I cover things that are available in other countries. you know, when you talk about revolver shotgunning, you talk about some of that stuff. Maybe that's why. I get a little more from other countries, but still 75%, when you're talking about splitting that remaining 25% amongst other countries, it's minuscule. You know what I mean? Sure. You know, no other country comes anywhere close to the United States. And then, so it gets into, when we're talking about demographic, is that even something that should be on our radar, or we should chase? Because at the end of the day, if you're talking about things like the Fire and Friday podcast, or you're talking about, you know, coverage on SHOT Show, or you're talking about some of these things that are, you know, what good does that necessarily do? Again, I go back to, if you've got things going on that are not available in other countries, if you're doing it in the fashion, in some type of fashion of maybe entertainment or something like that. But I'm not real sure how the gun culture works in other countries, that is there really that large of a percentage of people in other countries that will do like all the people out in the live chat tonight and hang around. You know what I'm saying? In a, you know, when people are talking about firearms and stuff like that, is it so small of a piece of the culture in other countries, I guess is what I'm getting at, that it's even worth it to worry about it, Ghost?
I don't think so. My demographic breakdown as United States is 81.7%. Okay. My next one, ironically, is 2.9%, and it's the Philippines. That's interesting to me. But I think what a lot of it comes down to is I think that in the gun community, even you can see other countries being listed, but most of these countries that are listed online have U.S. military bases there. So how many people are in the Philippines are watching, but are actually Americans watching from a military installation in the Philippines or Germany? I don't know the answer to that because I don't have any reason to think as to why the Philippines would be watching 2.9% of my audience, unless they're military installations in the Philippines. I don't know.
I've always been told that if anybody out there in the chat, live chat or replay, again, comments below, has any insights on that, it would be interesting. But I know a couple of people that came here from the Philippines, and they very big into firearm culture and all of that stuff. And seemingly from the stories they tell, I mean, obviously the Philippines doesn't have, you know, way different. They don't have the Second Amendment and all of that stuff. So it's a totally different vibe, I guess you could say there. But for a non-US, I guess, or whatever you want to call it, right, country or whatever, is fairly friendly to firearms in a way. That, at least that's what I hear. Have either one of you, Ghost or Budget, heard the same?
Absolutely. They have a strong underground gun culture.
Well, the Rock Island Armory is there and all that. So Philippines right. do create and manufacture firearms. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And that's one of the things that it was, that they've talked about is especially the 1911, like that's a kind of a cultural, yeah. I guess you could call it or something. They're really partial to 1911s in the Philippines.
Well, you have to remember for the longest time up until, what was it, the 80s or early 90s, one of the largest Air Force or military bases the U.S. had worldwide was in the Philippines. Mm-hmm. And so the 1911 was prevalent in those military bases. So they probably had a lot of those, you know, who knows. But yeah, it is interesting. I never really thought about Rock Island until someone mentioned it out there. But yeah, Rock Island, but still 3% for the Philippines just strikes me odd. I don't know.
Well, and I mean, I had never given any thought to the whole idea of military bases, right? Not just military bases, but the amount of people that travel, right? You know, that could be an issue too. I mean, it's if you're, you know, because that's going to be based on what internet connection you're on. It's sort of how they gauge that. Right. And so, you know, if you're overseas somewhere and you're in a hotel and you're, you know, for work or whatever, and that's your entertainment at night is to get on the internet and watch YouTube videos. Well, then it's going to log you as coming from whatever country that's in. That said, that begs a different question, and I'll move to Budget and get his thoughts on the whole, you know, foreign country type thing. Is the another reason that I don't feel anyway that it's, you know, we should put a lot of stock and focus on broadening the international appeal maybe of our content is that. And I think no matter what we do, we know that there are countries out there that the internet is filtered. And so they're probably not going to get our content anyway, regardless of where they want it. And some of the numbers that we see, those people may be using VPNs or some other way. Again, we get into the nerd chat, right? It's a virtual private network. It's where you can kind of bypass some of the regional restrictions and stuff like that, having to do with internet use. But coming from a foreign country and maybe they're running one of their business computers or something like that. And so they're not really using the public internet that may be more restricted at the type of content that they can actually serve up. I don't know. But thoughts on you know, the whole idea of international traffic and stuff through your YouTube channel budget. I'll give you the floor for a minute.
Yeah, I think there might be something to the tourist and military deployed reasoning behind that. But I know I do have some regular citizens in different countries that sub to me. I know there's a guy in Austria that does, because I've watched some of his stuff and it's really interesting. The Austrian Bushman, is his channel. And despite the fact that he's speaking German, you know exactly what he's doing and what he's talking about because of the way he physically explains stuff and does stuff. So it's really cool. If you're the type of person that can figure that kind of thing out based on what someone's doing, not what they're saying, you ought to check his channel out. Mm-hmm. It's a camping bushcraft type thing. But I know he's one of my subs. So I know I do have actual, you know, foreign nationals who subscribe to my stuff. Yep. And who watch. As far as the way mine breaks down, 84.5% is U.S., 1.6% is Canada, 1.2% U.K., 0.7% Philippines, 0.7% Brazil, 0.5% Australia, 0.3% Turkey, 0.2% Germany, 0.1% Mexico, Italy, Spain, and France, and then 12 views from South Africa and 11 from Poland.
That's interesting. That's similar to, honestly, that's similar to kind of my
progression. Yeah, it's kind of big, except for my Philippines is next, but you know, we're all probably getting the same basic countries at about the same 0.5% or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. I wonder because, and I want to kind of go into a question that you were asking earlier, kind of, if you don't mind, but I wonder if some of these countries are watching our videos because they want, you were talking about the very few countries, I mean, if no countries have a Second Amendment like we do, but there might be countries out there that are at least some semi gun friendly, but they want to be more gun friendly, and maybe they're trying to find out information from us on how to work the political side. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that, but you know, yes, it's probably entertainment, but how much of it is actually trying to learn education of the firearm community in America to see if they can implement that in their home country? I would love to think that that was a real thing. I don't think it is, but it was just a thought.
You know, a way to compare that, if you ever could get some data from a channel like Jared, let's say with Guns and Gadgets or somebody like that, is maybe somebody with a more news oriented or whatever style channels.
Yeah, and see, that's a great point.
You know, and see what their international numbers kind of look like. And I would be willing to bet that it was higher. It's higher than what we see.
Probably, yeah.
Willing to bet that.
Because I know that all that he talks about is the U.S. political side, but it does give other countries ideas of what is happening with firearm law. So yeah,
I think there's no doubt that for a very, very long time now, the entire world looks to us, you know. It would just make sense. What you're saying would just make sense to me.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to get a hold of maybe Jared's, and let's see if he'd share that piece of it. And I wouldn't ask him anything else, but that piece of it would be interesting.
Mm-hmm. So G23 out there was talking about some closed captioning stuff. And so just to answer his question on that, I think my closed captioning is 2.8% is English. So roughly 97% is none. And, that begs the question, you know, here's what you got to ask yourself with closed captioning. And you got to be really careful with that particular analytic, because if you're not actually going through, I think we've had an after hours show on closed captioning before, but if you're not actually going through and setting up your closed captioning, if you're allowing YouTube to do it, their silly way of doing it.
Oh, it's a horror show if you go by theirs.
Yeah. So you know, you're not going to, what I'm getting at is you're not going to have a very good quality closed captioning. So people are not going to utilize it that much. They're just
I have gone through and taken the time to manually do my closed captioning on some of my videos. And boy, oh boy, it's, it's a complete pain. It really is.
If I ever got to the point, and this will never happen, but if I ever got to the point that I was making, you know, let's say in the first month a video was put up, I was making several hundred bucks on that one video, then it would be worth, it would probably be worth paying to have it closed captioned. But I would definitely pay to have it closed captioned, because it is a bit of a pain. There's a pretty easy way to go in and edit out. You basically pull up the YouTube translation, and then you can edit the YouTube translation.
Yeah, right? That's what I do.
But that's the easiest way to do it, but that's still a pain in the neck regardless.
Yep. Why, yes. Yes, it is.
Yeah. I think it's interesting. Like, my closed caption is 7% that you actually use closed caption, which is higher than I thought it would be. But the interesting thing is it's English. You would think if they are going to use closed captioning, unless they are deaf, that's one thing. But 7%. But if you start looking at all the different countries, you know, how many of those countries are Spanish speaking countries, but yet they're not watching the Spanish closed captioning?
Right. Or you've got, you know, I don't, what's spoken in the Philippines?
Filipino.
Is it?
Yeah, okay. They've got a weird kind of language.
I don't know what the most common language, but you know,
it's based off of a Spanish style language, but it's their own. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. You've got 3% view.
Yeah. But none of them watched Filipino closed caption.
Yeah, they're apparently listening to it in English. Yeah. Yeah. Which is interesting. So
yeah,
I don't know. Yeah.
Maybe it's a regional difference in accent that they can't quite understand what you're, no, I'm not saying anything bad. I'm just pointing out there are sometimes when I'm watching someone who nominally speaks English, I can't understand a freaking word they're saying, and I have to turn on a closed caption. Yeah. You know, if they have a real thick accent. So maybe that might be part of it. I don't know.
Yes, snob. I think snob might have hit it on the head. He said a lot of people will watch videos at work with closed captioning so they don't get caught with the volume.
Yep.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. That makes perfect sense.
Yep, that will work.
Now, snob out there, yes, there are no closed captions for Oki, so he might be screwed.
Right. So I think that's going to pretty much do it, talking about audience demographics and everything else this week. I want to run this through the panel, give Ghost and Budget a little bit of time to speak their piece while I sweep and put up the chairs and all that good kind of stuff. Budget, we'll start off with you. What do you need to pimp and or promote before we get out of here?
Well, first off, thanks for the invitation. Love this show. Glad to see it back. Anybody who doesn't know me, I'm Mike from Budget Guns and Gear Reviews. You can find me here on YouTube at Budget Guns and Gear Reviews. Same on Full 30 and Gunstreamer as well. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter is Budget Guns and Gear. I got a Ruger PC Charger first impression video, a tabletop review coming up in the next couple days. And then shortly after that, a couple days later, I'll have a range video out for that. Very shortly after that, there'll be a written article on Gear Report. So to kind of go with that, I got some other stuff coming up as far as reviews that I really have to get off my plate for Gear Report too. So we'll get some of that stuff going in the very near future.
Awesome. Ghost, you're up.
I just want to remind everybody that May is Mental Health Awareness Month. And not just saying it's for veterans, but the veteran suicide rate is 22 veterans commit suicide every day here in America. But there are a lot of people out there, whether veterans or not, that feel like they're alone, they're in the darkness, and they need someone to help them. So if you know someone that's struggling, don't wait till tomorrow to text them or like go call them or go see them today, because tomorrow might be too late. And if you need help out there, go check out Walk the Talk America. Go check out holdmyguns.org. Go check out 22kill.com. Go check out, there are a number of people, the VA, and I'm working with the VA right now on a task force to help them out. But they get over 2,000 calls. I did not know this until I was on this conference call with them. They get over 2,000 calls per day through their suicide crisis hotline. That's 2,000 people a day call that. And they have people 24/7, they're live people answering those phone calls. So if you need someone out there, call someone. If you don't have anyone to call, call me 24/7. I will answer that phone for you. So just be aware of what's going on around us. And I know that especially right now, a lot of people are quarantined. So if they're having those depressive thoughts, being quarantined probably isn't helping. So if you thought someone was having issues before, please go check on them. Make sure everything's okay. Take them for a walk. Get them outside. Get them to talk or whatever. But just really, you know, be on the lookout. That's all I got to say. And thanks for having me. Great chat.
You bet. And for everybody out there that participated in the live chat, thank you. There was definitely some commentary and some questions and other things, and we appreciate it. Remember, whether you're on Full 30, which we will or have started uploading this to, may take a couple days to get it up just because of the nature of the beast here between StreamYard and YouTube. Obviously, it'll be on YouTube in the replay. It'll be in podcast form and all that good stuff. So comments below, wherever it might be, and can continue the conversation. Talking about the whole YouTube StreamYard thing, I don't know what's going on. I'm guessing it's has to do with maybe demand on the system. Also, the scaled back workforce or something like that. But these are taking forever to get to a point that we could distribute and get them out and promote and do other things if we're running through StreamYard. And I don't, like I said, I don't know why, but they are. So bear with us on that. The Fire on Friday should be with spoke with Roy from Brown Ales today. So that should be the Fire on Friday, assuming that, again, YouTube and StreamYard decide to let go of things so I can get all that finished up and put out tomorrow on Friday. But look for that great conversation on the history of Brown Ales. And for those that aren't aware, I mean, Brown Ales has been around for a very long time. I mean, they're really pushing that 100-year mark as a business. And a lot of people don't think about that. You know, and it just speaks to, again, a couple of things that we mentioned tonight have to do with the gun culture, the firearm culture and stuff like that. And when you've got those legacy companies that have been around for so long, it's just really awesome. So check that out. Obviously, Saturday and Sunday should drop some produced content as well. For that, we're going to say good night and call it a week. And thanks for hanging out until next week. Stay nerdy.